So they find themselves in this cell, in the darkness, hurting. In verse 25, we're given their reaction. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. This word, but, in a literary sense, it indicates that Luke is trying to place the reaction of Paul and Silas in context to everything that had just happened to them. His point in doing this is to illustrate how abnormal it was that following a violent arrest without provocation, false accusations without reason, an unmerciful beating, and an unjust imprisonment as if they were criminals of the worst order, these men respond to these circumstances by praying and singing hymns to God. It's as though Luke is saying that A happened, and one always expects when A takes place for B to be the natural reaction, the natural result. But A happened, and B doesn't take place. Instead, something out of the ordinary, something bizarre, something strange occurs. You see, in their suffering, Paul and Silas, they resist the natural human reaction. They don't do what you would expect. They don't do what you would do. Right? I mean, if you're in their situation, there's a lot of reactions that would surface, right? Aside from praying and singing. For me, I can imagine the natural reaction would be to doubt their purpose. You know, that thought, what did we do wrong? Paul sees this vision. They travel from Troas to Philippi, the gospel going from Asia Minor to Europe. They're there. Clearly God has led them. And in this moment, they had to have thought, did we make a mistake? Did we screw up? Why would God be mad at us? Doubt, a normal reaction to such circumstance. I can figure that they might have taken pity on themselves. You know, woe is me. Here I am serving you, Jesus. And this is all I get. This is all I get in favor of it. Self-pity. I can imagine you and I in the same situation. That complaining, you know, about being treated unfairly would be a natural reaction. This is not fair. We didn't do anything wrong. I mean, me in the prison cell in this situation, I would have the tendency to point out that this is not how things should have gone. Thanks for nothing, Jesus. I can even see them growing angry over their current state of affairs. I mean, have you ever been in a situation totally unfair and you get angry about it? Angry at God? Angry at the people that were accusing you, or angry at the people that hurt you? Crying out, as the psalmist, for vindication? See, these would all be natural reactions in this set of circumstances. B to the A. But this is not what we find, is it? We don't find them taking self-pity. We don't find them angry. We don't find them complaining. Instead, these men make a decision to rely on the God behind their circumstances by doing something important, by coming to him in prayer and the singing of hymns. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to rely on God in the midst of my suffering. But practically, what does that look like? Well, we find it. They come to God in prayer and the singing of hymns. Now, the first thing Paul and Silas are doing in the darkness of their suffering is they're coming to God in what? In prayer. You see, in the moment of suffering, prayer is of vital importance, for it is the mechanism by which Jesus is able to affect my mind and therefore influence my will. And that's important in such situations. Never forget, prayer is not about convincing God he needs to be doing something. That's not what they're doing here. Instead, prayer is about aligning my heart with what God is presently doing. It's about trusting God. It's not about getting God on my side, on my page, but rather it's about surrendering my will to him and getting myself on his page. Okay, I'm here. Lord, I have this compulsion for all of these normal reactions, but I trust that I'm in the pit because you led me here. So you got to help align my heart with what you're doing. Give me a vision. Help me in the moment. Help me surrender these thoughts I'm having, these feelings I'm having. You know, prayer affords an individual the opportunity to allow what I know to be true to override what I might feel in the moment. That's why prayer is important. It helps me place my present situation and context to much larger realities I know, but I might not be feeling. Things like God does love me. God is in control. God has a plan. Sometimes in prayer, I need God to align my heart with his will and remind me, like Romans 8:28 says, that all things indeed work together for the good. Even depressing prisons for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purposes. You see, prayer is important in the pit of despair because it helps me shift my focus off of my circumstances, the ones in front of me, and onto the God behind my circumstances. And when this happens, when you can do this, your perspective concerning your present situation will begin to change. You see, instead of escape from my prison, if I can align my heart with God, instead it should be a desire to endure, to persevere. And you know, if I can get to this point where I can, in the moment of suffering, deny my emotional capacity, my natural instincts and reactions, and instead get my eyes on God and not my circumstance, when I can do that through prayer, an amazing thing happens, friend, when I can recognize and trust the sovereignty of God over what I'm facing. A great peace fills my life. You know, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, we're told to be anxious for nothing. Why? Because in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and what? Your mind through Christ Jesus. If you're suffering, if you find yourself in a pit, if you find yourself faced with a situation or a dynamic that's unfair, something that you see and you might in your own humanity complain about, take a step back and come to God in prayer. Not asking God to do away with my situation or to free me from my circumstance, but God, allow me to focus in on your purposes and your will. Give me a heavenly perspective on my current muck. Which then leads to another component. If you're suffering, I hope you realize that God does want to do more than simply affect your mind or influence your will. You know, it's easy for someone to say what I've just said, and in many regards, detach it from the pain we might experience. But Jesus wants to do more in your suffering than just change your mind or influence your will or your perspective. Jesus wants to do more than that in your suffering. You know, in Luke 4, verses 18, Jesus said that he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's his promise. That's his mission. That's his focus. Jesus cares not just while you're in your prison, your mind. He cares about what you're feeling. It's not mind over matter or mind over emotions. It's mind and emotions. Those are the ministries Jesus cares about. You see, it shouldn't be understated that though Paul and Silas are able to gain a heavenly perspective on their earthly circumstances, in this moment, as they're chained to this wall and their feet are in the stocks, they were experiencing a real and physical pain. It's not as though in their prayer, their pain subsided. That's not true. A change in perspective wasn't a change in discomfort, which is why, aside from praying, what else do we see them doing? Paul and Silas are singing hymns to God.